guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host, Shanae, and today we are here with Dudley and Felina. So we've been a little MIA for like the last 2 weeks, you know, life. But we're back today, and we plan to discuss several, I guess, major topics that have been prevalent in the news within the last few weeks that stood out to us.
God save the king!
What's coming with that?
What's wrong? LMBO.
What is wrong with you, Dudley?
That's what Roddy said. God save the king. That super major event that happened whilst we were gone, that are going to cost the British people £9 million when some people can't afford to eat every single day. You know, God save the king.
Very unfortunate. Anyway, so the first thing I wanted to talk about that has been a continuing discussion on this show has been over the last few months, we've been following what has been going on with the wages increase for teachers. So a quick recap, I think it was last month and maybe like a few months before that, we were talking about the Prime Minister statements saying that he was going to raise wages for teachers, and it was a whole thing, and the Bahamian Union of Teachers didn't agree with the agreement that was presented to them, and they asked for something new to be drawn up, and for like a few months there was complete silence, and finally we have resolution to that. So hold on, I believe I saw that there was a 15% salary increase over a 3-year period, which will be paid in the first year. Now they were fighting for an initial 20% over the span of 3 years, but they just, both the Union of Teachers and the government came to a common ground, which was 15%. And she said that there would be 2 increments, and which is 116.66 plus your normal increment of 58.33. And it says in the second year, it is an increase of 1 increment, which is $700 plus your normal increment. And in the third year, it's these 2 increments plus the normal increment. So finally, resolution is brought to this. And I am happy that it was in the $60 that was being discussed earlier. And they've actually brought something that teachers are happy with, at least for the start.
Like you said, it's a start. It's a start in the right direction. And I'm very pleased because many governments have been promising a salary increase for teachers. I think it's long overdue. And I'm just thankful that we are taking the steps towards teachers being compensated the way that they should be.
Yes, as you know, on this show, we are very passionate about the people that are the backbone of our country, being teachers, nurses, doctors who help keep the country going. I mean, teachers educate the youth, and they deserve the utmost respect, and they deserve to be paid a good wage, because me personally, I can't do children all the time, and I feel like everything that is required of teachers is a lot, and they should be compensated absolutely for their time. And also, there will be an expansion of medical insurance for members, which now includes dental and vision benefits. And also, Anangshi said that there will be funding for housing and responsibility allowances for teachers on the Southern Islands who have limited resources. And this includes Acklands, Crooked Island, Mayaguana, and Anagua. And these are the islands that don't have banks readily available. So she's saying that this would alleviate some of the stress off of the teachers because they don't have flights that leave daily, and they don't have medical care. Well, they don't have the level of medical care that Nassau would have. So she said that was something that they wanted to work on, and that's something that they got an allowance to help them with their day-to-day life, I guess.
So yes,
I think this is an amazing step in the right direction. I love that it was actually resolved, because we were talking about the fact that there was complete silence for such a while, and Belinda Wilson, the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers, was saying that they hadn't gotten another proposal. So to see that they've come to this agreement makes me happy. And yeah, I think a really good step.
So we're celebrating the people that are the backbone of the country. What you're really saying is God save the king. Let me stop joking for a second. Just a quick second. It's one of the few times, you know, Dudley is getting a little serious and show he been to the University of the Bahamas for a couple of years. If the teachers are cool with it, then cool. But we always gotta remember they only cool with it for now. So obviously, as the whole world economy changes over time, as it is wanting to do every single day of our lives, they need that little thing to raise too. So whilst we can be happy that action has been taken now, we gotta always remember action is always needed, especially when it comes to people money, because everything always getting more expensive. Because never forget, it still costs more at the pump than you will get for an hour of your work. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dudley, for that.
I agree with what you said. The fact that I think it's a step in the right direction. That's all it is, a step. Whether it's half a step, mini step, or whatever, I'm grateful for it because it's been years without any steps. Mm-hmm. Anything. So at least this administration has done something. I mean, you would get a lump sum here and there, but I mean the actual increase in salary.
Yeah, it's a Cupid shuffle step. That's why everybody likes it so much. I've yet to meet a person that doesn't like the Cupid shuffle. That's what the step feels like. You know, it's to the left. No, sorry, they just go to the right first. So it's a step to the right. You know, it's a horizontal step. Nothing really changed. They just make you I mean, I'm sorry. This is the real pessimist to be talking. I feel as though the agreement that they've come to, even though it's a good thing, you know, overall, and it's even better from an optic standpoint, you know, it feels like it's just to quell the problem. It's like, all right, the teachers was the set of people out. There's a set of government people that was making a bunch of noise this week. Bam, this set up the teachers for now. All right, the nurses going back to making noise. Bam, this settled the nurses down. Okay, the dog was making noise. Bam, police officer. Bam, you know, feel like another something to keep you all over until, you know, you all make noise again. That's just me, though.
That's not pessimistic. You're thinking like them. That's exactly what it is, because there was talk about action being taking place if agreement wasn't established before school started. So any sensible government would know that they have to do something in order to lessen that chance, because, you know, the children then suffering. We've already been through COVID for 2 years. I mean, you got persons in high school who don't know simple sight words because, you know, we were virtual for 2 years of them in primary school. And, you know, it's just like, what you say? The comprehension skills are little to none. Oh my gosh. And so it's a lot. And so to take all of that into consideration, like you say, this is really just a Cupid shuffle step. And it was just to quell, you know, what they foresee to be a very serious problem. But at least they did something about that. Then other governments in the past, I should say, who use just mouth and then nothing or whatever. Something was promised and then nothing. And so that's what I'm trying to say. Believe me, I know what it is. I could see what it is. But I'm just saying that it's something. And you got to be grateful for that something.
See, Selena, that's why I have you as a teacher. Once you and me seeing the same thing, that means I know I ain't freaking out. So once you seeing what I seeing, I know I seeing the right thing. So thanks for letting me know that I was a little correct on the ball with that.
All right. So the next part that I want to highlight is also something that has been a topic that we've been following. And it's around the marital rape situation and a new draft bill that would help, but it would criminalize marital rape. So, in a statement, the ministry said that this bill would secure justice for women and men while strengthening the family. They are looking to change the definition of rape, excluding the current exception that it does not acknowledge rape within a marriage. So the current definition of rape is the act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with any with another person who's not his spouse. Oh, they want to change it to, they want to change it to the act of any person not under 14 years of age has sexual intercourse with another person without the consent of that other person complaint, and where a person who perpetrates the act does not reasonably believe that compliant consented. So the new, so there are a number of terms that have been redefined, including consent, sexual offense, aggravating circumstances, and indecent assault. So I like the fact that consent is being added, because I feel as though a lot of people think that, and this has been a growing topic on the internet, a lot of people don't think that coercion is considered rape. Like, I saw, I don't know if any of y'all saw the TikTok trend where it's this song with something about can't sleep with the lights are on, something, 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 and everybody would stick their opinions, and a lot of them were surrounding, like, sexual assault and rape. And one of them, I like, well, actually quite a few of them I saw, was that they said rape is still rape even if you were forced to say yes. And a lot of people were like, oh no, if you're not, if you still said yes, yes is yes. But I don't agree with that statement, because if you were coerced or forced or blackmailed and your yes wasn't actually a yes, you were basically forced into submitting to something that you would have otherwise not submitted to. And I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily look at that aspect of it. And I think adding consent to the definition and explaining, like, what consent means to people, like, I think that's very important.
I totally agree with you with what you said. And then the thing about it too is that, of course, we know that a lot of our laws, especially written back then, were based on our colonizers, and which was majorly patriarchal. And mental abuse, and when anything that comes with it deals with mind and emotion, a lot of persons don't take seriously. But then, see, what happens is now when you put it within a situation where persons really have to think, for instance, a 14-year-old, she has a 22-year-old boyfriend, or whatever the case may be, and this is realistic. She has a 22-year-old boyfriend, and she's not ready to have sex. But the guy tells her, oh, if you love me, you would do this. And why you don't, obviously you don't love me, you know, and they play mind games on them. So she didn't say no, but she didn't really want to. But because now she's thinking, in order to keep him, if I, if this is true love, then I have to do it. Then she does it. That's right. That's right. Tell me if I'm wrong. Anybody agree with that or no?
Well, I think it's rape for the mere fact that she's an underage girl and she is 14. The age of consent, I think, if I'm not correct, I think
16.
It's 16. So, first of all, why are you 22 dating a 14-year-old? And people love to perpetuate, oh, she's a girl, she's going to get in a relationship with him, or she fast and this is something next. But we're ignoring the fact that grown men and women, because it's not only men, it's women too, prey on little children. And I feel as though, especially for boys who 14, 15, 16, they think it's cute to have a girlfriend who's a lot older than them, and they don't realize, like, it's abuse. Like, that's manipulation.
Sinead.
Yes?
14, 15, 16-year-old boys, please, talk numbers. Talk. talk numbers. You starting at where the problem, you starting at halfway through the problem. Come on now. Come on. We know it's enough news stories. We know they ain't aiming for teenagers. They aiming for children.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I know a friend. He was just there like, bro. I always think back to this conversation, because he was like, yeah, I was 10 and these gals was like 15 and 16. And you know, they did the nasty with him. And I was like, and at the time, because I was like, I was a teenager at the time that he told me the story, right? So as a teenager, I was like, that's crazy. That's insane. In like a good way, you know? And then as an adult, as I revisit that conversation, it's just like, that's a serious problem. That not only did that happen to him when he was a child, but me as a fellow child was just there like, yeah, that's great. You did it. You got it early, you know? So it's like on multiple levels, on several levels. We gotta review how we educate children. And yeah. some of it might be the lack of educating children. And you know, it's like even for me recently, as a grown adult, I had to come to terms with what coercion meant. Cause at first, when I first heard about rape via coercion, I was like the standard nigga. I was like, it don't make no sense. That's just, oh, sorry. I was like the standard male. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. If you say yes, then yes is yes. Because at the same time, it's like, if you change your mind and say no, then no is no. So if you say yes, then yes is yes. That's how I thought about it. And then it didn't really occur to me how serious it was until it happened to me in real life. And a gal was just like, if you don't do this, then I can tell everybody that you're gay. And I was like, well, I don't want to live with that stigma because I'm not gay. I don't have a problem with gay people. I'm just personally not a gay man. And I don't need that unnecessary stuff to deal with in my life. And then after somebody explained to me what, you know, rape by coercion is, it's like, sounds like the thing that happened to me that I didn't like that one time. Makes sense now. So, you know, we got to go through a whole process of re-educating the public on what these terms mean, because a lot of people could just hear, a lot of people, I promise you, 95% of people are only hearing that if we make this legal, then if we make this legal, then it becomes possible for a man to rape his wife. Nobody yes. is going, they ain't yes. hearing nothing else. That, oh they ain't hearing gosh. Nothing else. All they're hearing is a man can now rape his wife. And they could go to whatever example they want to go to, whether it be the Bible, whether it be some old belief system that say that doesn't make any sense because when you get married, the two become one. Which I always say in turn means if they're saying that a woman cannot refuse her husband's request for sex, then a man also cannot refuse his wife's request for sex even when he doesn't feel like it. And, you know, we like to act like some of those situations don't exist, but they do. They're fringe, but they exist. So, you know, I say if you want all the good, then we can take all the good, and it's great. But if we want to continue to live with the bad, then we have to explain and accept all the bad. We can't just have it one-sided no more. It's 2022. We're taking all the good, or we're taking all the bad. Now, whichever one you're all for, I five. Because I can't beat 400,000 people. But I just saying.
Not only that, Dudley, right? But hit on two things that you said. One thing, like you said, the culture. Growing up, and like you said, I had to come to terms with a lot of things when I got older. Growing up, when you had these classmates who had these older men inside as their boyfriends inside school, they get picked up. Food being brought to them, you know, they have the latest designer things, like these men just buying them all these things. It's like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky. And like, you know, you have a grown man, got, this and that.
She got new Pandora bracelet. While ain't nobody rocking, get that Pandora.
That's what I'm saying. Why? As soon as the thing come out, they wearing it, they blinging it, the Kipling bag, this and that. They put together, they got their lunch money and everything. So as a child, I'm just like, I'm not a child, but like, you know, in high school, it's just like, man, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you got to do a man, you do a woman things. Like, you know, go figure. And it's not that I was a fast girl. It's not that I was a below average student who, you know, that's all they think about. I was a very high achieving student, but, you know, that's just the culture. And nobody teaches us this culture, you know, that when I really think of, nobody teaches you this culture. It's just that something that's, and I don't know, expected, especially within our school system. But it's not until I got older, coming out of high school, and then realizing that certain positions are held back because now these men who already take care of you for your entire high school years, where you going? Who you think you're leaving? Your minds, you can't go nowhere. Your mind, you can't go nowhere. Oh, not only that, but then these relationships that we see now are just men who are preying on younger girls, because like, why are you 30-something, 20-something, but your girlfriend, 15, 16, just coming out of high school, 19. Why you can't find somebody your own age? Like, when people used to say that, I'd be like, no. When people used to say that, I used to be like, well, that's dumb because, you know, love don't have an age or anything like that. But no way should you be 28, 29, and your girlfriend is 18, 19. I am sorry, but I'm just like, that sends a lot of red flags in my head because...
Don't apologize. That's a tough nasty.
Hold on, let me finish. It is what it is. Now, don't send all the stones to me. I'm just saying it is what it is. Now, 5 years or whatever, not 15 and the person 20. No, that's nasty. But I'm just saying, there's a difference between a child and an adult, and an adult and an adult. There's a huge difference. And so I think the culture, like you said, it's either, I don't know, lack of education, or I believe it's lack of education and just allowing, we don't want to talk about sex, we don't want to talk about contraceptions. You know, I mean, in the way that we do it, it's almost still like, you know, whatever, it's not nearly enough. Family life, they finally incorporated that within school, but I don't think it's nearly enough. Based on what is being pushed in the media about sex and what to do and these different things, it's not enough to for these children to actually be taking that into consideration. The only thing that's pushed is in those hip hop music, what this girl's supposed to do, what this boy's supposed to do, what you're looking for, you know, that's the main things that are being pushed within the movies and stuff that they watch.
No, see, my thing that I, the thing that you said that I really wanted to get on was the idea that a child and an adult is one thing, and an adult is another thing. What I've noticed, and this is just I'll be upfront. This is a biased standpoint of a man that lives in society. So I accept that I might be wrong, and I accept any rebuttals that you all may have, because what I experience can be true, and what you all experience can be true. We call that nuance. Now, when you say, if you're a 28-year-old man and your girlfriend is 18, 19, that sends up a red flag. You want to know why? When you said that specifically, it was also a red flag for me. And then I paused for a second and I was like, to me, it's really because it's a 28-year-old man and an 18 or 19-year-old woman. Yeah, she's an adult, but she became an adult. And so a lot of times you kind of associate it with, well, how long he know her? And did he know her before she became an adult? And was he just waiting on her? Was he grooming her and then waiting for her to become legal before? And all of these things come into mind, right? But I've witnessed this in real life. The situation is reversed. You have a 28-year-old woman and an 18-year-old boy, and everybody is just look at that and be like, ain't no problem here. Like, this isn't an issue. This is clearly more acceptable than the reverse. So for me, and I've witnessed it more times than I would like to admit, and I wish when I was seeing it that I had the fortitude of character to tell the guys like, hey, maybe she like using you, because there's a big gap in age here. And for some of them, you know, they ended up becoming young stepfathers and they was just madly in love. And so some of them had messed them up to this day. Like, they still freaking out, focusing only on the woman and not about their own happiness. Literally sacrificing their body. You could see them, they look 21. I mean, they're 21, but they look like your daddy. So you just, like, you see the toll it takes on them, but we don't really comment on it so much. And it's like, that's another part of the re-education that we have to have too. We have to come to the people and be like, listen, we know for a fact that there are underage victims. All of them are children. There are men, and some of the victims are men, some of the victims are women, some of the victims are in between genders. We know this for a fact. And it goes. And a lot of times it goes unreported when the victim is a man. So We just want the public to know everyone is at risk. It ain't just, we got to look, we ain't got to hyper-focus on girls and be like, it's the little girls who fast. No, it's the adults, it's the men and women that prey on boys and girls and cause them to do foolishness and cause them to age faster than they are and to become people that, you know, that ain't natural for a child. So that's just me. That's just me.
You know, I
totally agree.
Yeah, I agree as well. I have several things I want to touch on from what both you and Selena said. But Zelie, I totally agree. I feel as though in society, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen to men and women as equally, but I feel like society has morphed men to think that this is normal. And I feel like, because even if you talk, I've had several conversations with several, well, they're men now, that I grew up with or that I went to high school with, and we would have discussions about, okay, why is it okay? Why is it not okay for a 16-year-old girl to date a 28-year-old man, but it's acceptable for a 28-year-old woman to date a 16-year-old boy? And they literally were there trying to excuse behavior and say, no, boy, if I had a 28-year-old girlfriend, I would have liked that because I get in it before everybody else. And all the foolishness. And I'm just like, you don't realize that that's emotionally damaging to you? And they don't want to admit that. And I feel like that's something that's ingrained in our males in society. And I don't even think it's just a Bohemian thing. I think that's something that's kind of happened all around the world.
That's a black community problem, I'll be honest.
Yeah. And it's just like, dude, that's not okay. Like, that's not normal. Like, you should be dating people your age. And me personally, I always think of, whenever I see someone who's like, not like 32 and 42, but when I see someone who's like 18, 28, 18, 40, 21, 60 something, not saying that all of these scenarios are bad scenarios, you know, because sometimes they may genuinely get along, but I always sit there and think, what do you guys have in common? You guys are born in two different generations. You grew up in different times. I'm not saying that you can't get along, but it's just like, for me, I sit there and I'm thinking about, what do you talk about? What do you relate to one another? Or is it just purely a physical connection? But basically, I feel like, it's our culture to accept this foolishness in terms of sexual assault at a young age, or because, believe it or not, in our culture, a lot of young girls, like I said, a lot of girls that I went to school with or that was in my circle, expressed their stories to me. And 9 times out of 10, nobody ever took these people to court for touching children, molesting children, raping children. You know what the parent, what the family would do? Sweep it under the rug. Or remove the child from the life, but don't press charges. Why? Why are we protecting these men and women that are hurting our children? And I feel like that is just something in this country that we would rather protect the abuser than protect the child. I do not understand it. It makes no sense to me. But I feel like that's something that we have to change. Like, we have to be more observant as parents. We have to be careful who we sending our children around. And there was another debate talking about, I don't know if you guys saw this. I think I saw it on Facebook. And it was like, when uncle come over, you have to change, meaning talking to their daughter now, you have to change your clothes. Why? Why uncle cannot come over? Why she have to go and be uncomfortable in her home because of the way a creepy man looks at her? That creepy man should not be ever allowed back into your home. And I think that whole perception and these mixed, I don't know. It's just a mixed way of thinking for me. Because if I have a child, it's going to protect my child at all costs. If somebody's making them feel uncomfortable, you have to go. If you are looking at my child in a way I don't like, that I feel is a sexual manner, you got to go. Why are we making the children responsible for things that adults are doing to them? I don't understand that. And I feel like it's something that we have to talk about as a nation. It's something that we have to genuinely like address. And also they're trying to address it like in our laws. I think they're moving it down, I think in decent or something, down to 14. And I'll read some of the things that they have regarding consent. So it says, as it relates to consent in sexual offenses and indecent assault, a person shall not be deemed to have given consent if they are extorted, a threat of fear of bodily harm to a person or to another person. I'm guessing, like, if they'd be like, oh, I'll kill your mother, or or a, do something to someone who you're close to. And it says, other provisions applicable to consent include whether it's obtained by impersonating the spouse or other person personally known to this person, expressed by the word or conduct of another person, induced by abusing a position of trust, power, or authority given by the person originally, but withdrawn by express words or conduct and not replaced by any agreement to engage in sexual intercourse or an indecent assault. Consent is also not valid if obtained by administering a substance without the person's consent, capable of causing or enabling that person to be stupefied, put to sleep, and or overpowered at the time of the act of sexual intercourse or indecent assault. Obtained by a pattern behavior which has an effect on the person, on that person of coercing, controlling, exploiting, or limiting access to financial resources. The bill states that the consent shall not be inferred by reason of silence or lack of physical resistance on the part of the person or reason of sexual arousal on the part of the person. I think this last part is really important because I feel as though in a lot of cases that I've seen in the States, a lot of lawyers have used the fact that the person got aroused, which is something that they cannot necessarily control. The body, that's just something that the body does as a way to get these people off on rape, and to say that, oh, they enjoyed it, which is weird to me, because if someone says no, no is no. And to use something that they couldn't control as a way to get out of something is really weird to me. So I feel like adding consent to the definition of rape and these actual explanations clears up a lot of stuff.
But yeah, I was saying a lot of the things that really come up, coming up out of this, is they trying to make it very clear that consent is a verbal agreement. You know, we all have to agree with it, because even when you say somebody, you could put somebody in a stupor, somebody could take that, you know, as to the logical extreme. You could say that if you out with your significant other, and you drunk and she ain't drunk, but y'all have sex, then she rape you. And it's I think it's the things like that. That's like the only ever situation that I could think of that when people say, oh, well, I disagree with all of this, is like, that's the only way that could start to make sense. Now, does that make sense? No, but that's a start to your argument, right? But we really gotta educate. I think one of the main things that you really have to do, and I know I might sound like a broken record, we really do have to educate men on these kinds of things, because let me tell you something. As a grown man, you've been in some situations like the one that I said before, where it's like I was threatened with something that I didn't even know. It didn't even register to me as a problem. Like, that woman said that to me, and the first thing in my head was, well, if she say that, then I gotta do it now, because I don't want that type of rumor to be out there about me, because it's just not true. But as I've become a grown adult, I came to realize something very important when it comes to coercion. And it's a tough thing to teach people, right? When it comes to a certain point as an adult, you just gotta know who you are as a person, and you gotta remember that the rumors that people start about you, a bunch of people was gonna believe it anyway. So, and you can't change everybody's mind. So if somebody wanna go out there freaking out lying on your name, you gotta accept that come with a part of the life. That come with growing up. A lot of people, when I thought about it more seriously, from I was growing up as a man, you know, talking with other niggas, at a certain point in your life, sex becomes the topic. Like, that's the topic of every single conversation. When I was in high school, I remember most of the conversations that I remember having in groups of men that weren't, like, some of them were just people who I was around. I wouldn't call them friends. But sex became the overwhelming topic of discussion in 90% of the conversations that I had. I don't know if it's because everybody was exposed to porn far too early or what, but the point is, you know, at a certain point from a male standpoint, sex becomes this all-consuming topic. And when you're the person, and when you have to be the person that says, "Well, I'm still a virgin," you get ostracized, you get made fun of, you get bullied, you literally get bullied for being a male virgin. And the craziest part is, you not only get bullied by other guys, other girls start bullying you too. And the craziest part is, some of the girls that are bullying you about never having sex have also never had sex. So it's this constant feedback loop as for men. It's this constant feedback loop where sex becomes this all important source of identity. We spend so much time talking about it, debating it, talking about like, oh, this way, that way, whatever way. And some of us lying, but you can't say they lying because you know for a fact that you have never done it. So I think it's gonna take a lot of time. It's gonna take a lot of effort. It's gonna take a lot of energy. But I forget which one of y'all said it, but we really do have to change the culture of how we talk about, of how we explain sex to children, to each other. Like I and I don't I could put my parent I could put my parents on blast kind of, but I still love them. Me and my mommy, we never had to talk about, you know, the birds and the bees. Me and my daddy, we had a very loose conversation about it. It wasn't really anything substantive, but we had a very short conversation about sex. And when I say short, the question, I literally got asked one question, said no, and then we never spoke about it again. So we got to change the culture from top to bottom. Adults have to be more of the Bahamian adults have to be more receptive to the idea of actually talking and really explaining sex to their children. And over time, we gotta come to the conclusion that, you know what? In a lot of these instances where we say, "Oh, the little girl fast," or "she fresh," or whatever, it ain't even her. It's the adults preying on her, and she thinks that this is how she's supposed to act. So that's just my little 5-10 cents on that.
I agree. Me have to be more forthcoming about sex as a topic. I have a vastly different experience from Nelly. Both of my parents talked to me about sex on multiple occasions. I think I had my first talk when I was 11. And then I had one at 14. And then I think that was both my mom at 11 and 14. And then I had one again at 16 because I had got my first boyfriend at 16. And then my dad had one with me when I was 17 and I was going into college, and we talked about sex and drugs and all these things. So it's always been a pretty open topic in my house. And I feel like that helped me to be really responsible in terms of deciding what I want to do, in terms of if I want to wait, if I don't want to have sex. And if I do decide to, I know that I should be doing X, Y, and Z. I should have some sort of protection or whatever. My mom told me, she said, "Listen, when you are going to have sex, come to me so that I can take you to get you birth control if that's what you want to do." And if I told her I don't want to do that, then she's gonna let me find some other source of whether it be condoms or whatever other option I have. And I feel like that's important. I feel like every Bahamian child should have that conversation. It should always be that open. Children shouldn't be having to figure out for themselves what they should be doing in terms of protection or whatever. And like, if I had questions, I could ask. It was always a open forum in my house, and I feel like it shouldn't be this taboo subject. We're not in the 1930s or 40s. Come on, like, this is something we have to talk about. This is the only way you can protect your children and you have to educate them. Not, oh, don't have sex, and then when they go out and explore and they get pregnant, or they get somebody pregnant, or maybe they get an STD, or I don't know, or maybe they're just all over the place exploring. And look confused because you never talked to them, never sit down and had a conversation with them. Or some people just be scared of their mind and don't ever want to have sex in their life because of all the bad things that they've heard. So I mean, we have to have a more open dialogue with people, with our children, and from a younger age, not oh, you 16 in grade 12, or you 16 in grade 10, and you just talking to them. No, some people start relatively early. You have to start from they start going through puberty, in my opinion. So around 11, 12, need to have their first conversation.
It's very funny when you said that, you know, this isn't the 1930s or 40s, because I'm very I mean, my father is a product of the late 1940s, and he was the one that decided to talk to me about it. Like I said, it was a very short one-time conversation. I was 14. I remember it so well. I'm not gonna tell the story because I don't want to. And, you know, sometimes parents just make mistakes, and I don't blame him for not talking to me about it. In the same way, I don't blame my mummy for not talking to me about it either. Yeah, my mummy conversation, and my mummy is, I will not reveal the age difference between my parents, but my mummy was from a different time period. She's definitely not from the 1940s. But in her own way, she was the daughter of a pastor. So I guess for her, the idea that her underage son would be even thinking about having sex would have never crossed her mind as something that she needed to talk about. So I don't blame my parents. I'm happy to hear that your parents was able to come to you and have that open and honest conversation about it with you. But I mean, you said that we got to start from puberty like 11 to 12. Some women start going through puberty from their eight. If I remember right from my biology class, I think the youngest that a woman could start experiencing her period is from 7. And I don't think you want to have, and that's pretty much the start of puberty, y'all. So I don't think we want to go around telling 7-year-olds about sex.
But why not?
I do. Why not? I mean, hey, Sunino, if that's what you want to
how
do.
How old were the kids? No, no, what I'm trying to say is support now. You. No, what I'm trying to say is we have to be realistic, because it was the school, oh Lord, but the school is Blue Hill Road. It starts with a thing. Anyway, this is a primary school, and they found two girls and one boy in the classroom by themselves. I don't know if they were having sex, like intercourse per se, but I think it was like, you know, petting and fondling and probably oral sex, right? Because I was going to say, these children are started from young. And we can't say it's this age, you know, because looking back when I was in grade primary school, not until I got into high school that I really found out that person's in grade 1. That's 6-year-olds, you know, 5, 6-year-olds. And grade 2 were under the desk kissing and touching.
You know, you just reminded me of a story that I was once told.
And yeah. I was so perplexed when I found that. I say, bro, those things weren't even on my mind. What you mean? What you mean? Like, my thing was to get home to watch my Home on the Range Disney movie. That was my favorite thing. As soon as I get home, I used to throw that on. Like, I was so confused that children at that age were actually engaging in these things. And mind you, that's not to say I didn't know about these things per se, you know, because my mom started very early. From I can understand what A is, 1 + 1 is, I can remember having the sex talk, like probably like around 8, 9. I used to dread it. I mean, oh Lord, I used to be like, mommy, no, I know, please. Like, you know, as a child, you don't really want to hear these things. However, like Shanae said, it's not only just telling them and making aware of it, but making sure that you create this atmosphere where they feel safe to express themselves and also to ask questions. Because if we talk about this is a bad thing and this and that could happen, you know what happens now when they finally, because they're fearful of it, right? But that fear only lasts for so long. So now when they finally get a taste of it and be like, mom, what? Ain't nothing bad about this. This feel good. Everything you said goes out the window. Now they trying to experience with their own self, and that's how they get in problems. So pardon?
I was about to say, you reminded me of a story that my friend told me when he was talking about his younger cousin, and his baby cousin, a seven-year-old, was having sex with another 7-year-old girl. What? Like, And I don't, and you know, it's crazy. Like, the story is crazy because the story is very wild, because it's like one of them walked in on their parents doing it. And it was like their parents explained it's an act of love. And the girl was like, and they were, and you know, they kids. So she took that and she told the boys, like, you know, it's something that you do with a person that you love, and we love each other. So you know, they eventually, they figured out a way to do it. And, you know, it sounds wild and it's crazy. And it sounds unimaginable. But you just reminded me that, no, it's not really as unimaginable as I'd like to think. I'm pretty sure I blocked that out of my brain out of necessity. But you just reminded me that's a thing. That, yes, there are children out there. Like, man, you got to be extremely, extremely careful with how you introduce this topic to your kids. Because you don't want to just be like, oh, it's an act of love. And then and now, you know, yeah. And I mean, and kids don't even understand fully the concept of what you mean.
That's what I was going to say. No, let me explain what I was saying. A lot of parents now, I find it that a lot of adults have problems using real terms when it comes to sexual things. Like, there's still a whole taboo. So they would teach a girl to call her vagina cookie, and the boy penis his wee wee or whatever the case may be.
It's jewels. And it's jewels.
Jewels or whatever. I think we should stop that. These children, we think that children are not capable of understanding, and they are. Research has proven it. I heard a story about a teacher who a little girl kept on coming and say, "My uncle eats my cookie." And so the teacher started to bring more snacks because she couldn't believe, this uncle must be. So she doesn't have any snacks because the uncle eating her cookie. So let me just bring snacks for the girl. And she kept on repeating until she was like, she had to make the mommy aware. But I think it was a PDA meeting. And she's like, and she's just joking about it. I think you need to put more food in the house because, the uncle seems to be eating all of, whatever, let's say the girl named Sally Mae snacks. And so her mom is like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, she keeps on telling me that her uncle eats her cookie. And the mummy face went like she saw a ghost. That's the word she taught her daughter to use for her vagina. And I'm like, bro, we really have to stop this, because now these children are growing up.
And they just thinking the wrong thing.
And they're thinking the wrong things. And like you said, with your friend who's saying, oh, there's an act of love with family, like, you know, so you're not really explaining to them X, Y, and Z. So now they're saying, oh, this is what you're doing. And what's crazy is that when you said that, because I have this experience where I can remember in primary school, there was this girl and this boy in my class. And what happened was that we ended up having to stay behind late, right? This is a once in a lifetime. I mean, I rarely ever used to stay in the school yard late, but I end up staying late. And so these two just wanted, they said, oh, we want to do something fun. So when we look, they snatch up in the corner. And I mean, he didn't make a session, you snatch up. And let me be honest, you're in grade two. And they, I mean, pulling each other's tongue. And I'm just like, bro, what the devil happening? And when you said that, and you was like being exposing them too young, I honestly don't think that's the case. You can't. You know why I say you have to educate your own child? Because as soon as you send them to school, let me tell you something, that opens up a whole new world. And then I remembered, we had our school, the high school and elementary school is only separated by this big, huge field. And I can vividly remember that there used to be this high school couple, because we used to play in the field, and they used to be right on one of those blocks, and you could see them, and they making right up. And in my head, I was saying, that's probably what happened. They saw them two doing it, and they used to do it all the time. We used to call them Snowy and something, I can't even remember. And
why are you calling people name?
No, that ain't their name. But I should tell you how often they used to do it, because we had nicknames for them. And so you cannot, you never know what your child is going to be exposed to at what age. You thinking you're sheltering them? Let me tell you something. You cannot come 100% shelter your child. So instead of sheltering them, and then when they get out there, they're like, you know, lost puppies and sheep ready to be eaten by wolves, you prepare them.
It's the deeper and deeper you get into the idea of, and like we get into the conversation about how we just don't properly educate kids on it, because we like to fool ourselves into believing, oh, these are just kids, these are just babies, they don't understand what's going on. And it's like, no, they have a very good idea of what's going on. But the more you use play language, this is why, I mean, it all goes, for me personally, this even goes to, like, when my nephews were babies, I never talked to them in that kitty little voice, like, oh, look at the little boo, doo, boo, doo, boo. And my sister used to ask me why. I was like, because when they grow up, ain't nobody could ever talk to them like that again. Like, once they stop being your little innocent toddlers, people could just start talking to them like they're adults, because that's what people talk to them like in the real world. So, you know, it really starts from them being children. Like, you like to think that the children can't understand you, but honestly, the more honest you are with them, the more prepared you make them for anything that could possibly happen. So you might as well try your darndest and your best. If you don't want them to learn on their own, or you don't want somebody from their school teaching them, you got to teach them yourself, son. And, you know, it's a crazy world we live in. It might not sound necessary, but boy, oh boy, we've seen it truly is.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, like, as you know, I told you guys, like, my parents they were very open with me. And I feel as though the best, they never did that play foolishness. They were very, especially my mom, very raw, very direct. And she was telling you what it was. And to be honest, it didn't really make me necessarily curious or anything. I was just like, oh my God, I don't want to hear about this again. Like, leave me alone. But I do, now that I'm older, I do wish that they talked to me earlier. Because I told you the first conversation I had when I was 11. But the first time I actually ever heard about sex, I was about 9. I was about 9 or 10. Because I skipped grade 1. I didn't go into grade 1. So I went into grade 2 at 6 or 5. I think 6, maybe. So when I got into grade 5, I think I was around 9 or 10. And it was this boy and this girl. I was close with both of them. And they were on the stairs behind the church at my school. And they was there whispering. So I was playing in the field, running up and down, you know, as children do. And I walk up to them and ask them what they're talking about. So they didn't want to tell me. He's like, oh, you can't know because you don't know about this type of stuff or whatever. Because I really didn't. I was a very innocent child. I used to go home and I used to read. I literally had a bookshelf in my room full of books. And I would do my homework and I would go home and read until I fall asleep. Like, that was me. And I begged them to tell me. And what they were talking about is like, oh, we're talking about sex. And I was like, oh, what is that? And it's like, oh, we can't tell you. We ain't gonna tell you because you're too young. Because they was like a year or two older than me. So if I was maybe 9 or 10, and they was like 11 or 12, because I went into grade 7 at 11. And yes, I was 9. And I was just still like confused. And I was just like, and I feel like that them telling it to me made me more curious than my parents actually sitting down and have a conversation with me. Because I'm like, okay, this is something that my parents are doing, or they're not doing necessarily, but there's something that they know about. I didn't know about it. Why I don't know about it? Am I not like cool or whatever? Like, it was, you know, like it was a weird thing.
Am I not cool enough?
Like, why am I not in the loop, you know? But I feel as though, like, then maybe I wouldn't have cared so much. And I'd be like, oh, we didn't tell me about that, so I don't really care, you know? But they were talking about it like this is some top secret thing. And I feel like that shouldn't be a thing. Like
It's funny because you're talking about how old you was. Because I, too, was an 11-year-old when I was in grade 7. I never skipped any grades. I just went into school. Nah, I was just like, they tried to put me in kindergarten, And then I was supposed to go in grade two. And then they was like, all right, so this is the deal. He's too young. He's off. He's way too young to go into grade two. And we normally don't put them in grade five and grade one at his age. But we could put him in grade one, because if we put him in kindergarten, then he could just disrupt everybody because he know all that stuff. So I basically got into grade two because I was too advanced. But, you know, when I was in grade seven and I was a guy, you know, other guys was used to talk in school, but it wasn't about like, oh, we could talk about we talking about sex. But actually, the other guys was talking, they was talking about porn. And that's how, and I found out about sex from the other guys in my class talking about porn, because they was like, everybody watches porn. And me, I already was fat, nerdy, everything. So I've been getting bullied forever. So I wasn't about to get bullied for something else. So obviously I had to lie and say, yeah, I was watching porn too. Then when I went home that day and I found out what it was, I was like, this is wild, son. I don't even know what this is. And then through just listening to the other guys talk, I found out what, you know, it's like, oh yeah, that was sex. And I was just like, man, that's crazy. So to hear you talk about it and be like, yeah, no, they just straight up told me about it. I was just there. I'm just here like, man, I learned about it because of porn. Like, literally, no, but literally, it's like, it's just because of porn. It's all because of porn. I only learned about it because of porn.
But then I feel like it shouldn't be that way. And I feel like...
It shouldn't, but and once again, like I said, I don't think it's a failing of my parents, because my parents were born in a completely different era. They were born in completely different eras from each other, but they still had similar, you know, they had similar thought patterns. So like I said, for my mommy, she was just like, it's no way possible that my son would be partaking of that. So I ain't gonna talk to her about it. So she ain't gonna talk to me about it. In my old mind, you know, I was 11 in grade 7. By the time as he talked to me about it when I was 14, I was just there like, well, I've already watched porn, so I don't really need you to talk to me about it. Not knowing that he probably would have given me a lot better advice. But like I said, when you're a young boy, at a certain point in your life, every single conversation. And when I tell you, I don't know what it's like to be a teenage girl. You're always teenage girls. Y'all could verify or deny. But for boys, I don't want anybody to come and tell me, say, oh, I over-exaggerate. No, I am not over-exaggerating. 90% of the conversations that I had with other boys that weren't my friends, it was about sex. It was always, every single thing we spoke about was sex, sex, sex. So if anybody come behind this and tell me, say, oh, no, you over-exaggerating, we never used to talk about it that much, you lie. You lie, or you was extreme, or you going to a school where everyone was extremely sheltered, because, it's like, wait, you're gonna mind? I just listening to 12 and 13 year olds trying to explain to me, like, you know, everybody knows what this is. Everyone talks about it. Everyone watches porn. Not realizing that, you know, some of these guys just fronting. They just straight up lying to me. Anyway,
but for me, as a girl, I mean, I can't talk for every girl because I feel like everybody's experience is different, but I wouldn't say that 90% of our conversations involved sex. But as I got to a certain age, granted, I was never interested in it, but it was the company that I kept, that's all their mind was consumed with, and about having boyfriends and doing this and doing that. Like, for me, my mommy, like, I was a goody two shoes. Like, my parents is like, no boyfriend until you come out of school. So like, I genuinely wasn't interested in having a relationship. I wasn't on that run. So when they have a boyfriend and they get in the bongi grab and slap and all type of things, like, that's all that conversations entail. And I remember one time, like, I don't know if y'all was a part of that, like, Skype era thing when you all used to do is be on Skype all day and talking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so like,
for me, for me it was MSN Messenger.
But tell me, why you making that sound like you're so old?
Like I, and the crazy part is, I only like a few years older than you. But that's just the immediate difference between us. We used to have these conversations on freaking MSN Messenger. You're talking about Skype. Hell, when Skype came around, all the conversations gone from talking about porn to how, you know, are we seeing like they get naked with each other on Skype, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Now, mind you, I always thought that it was because I always thought that the problem lied with me, because a lot of people just did not like me in high school. But a lot of people didn't like me until like grade 12. So I was always like the ostracized weirdo kid, even though some of my friends, like people would love my friends and then despise me. So like my boys was the ones who, like, we never used to talk. Even though we used to talk about it, yes, because boys, like I said, boys talk about it. But, you know, me and my friends had conversations about things that were more meaningful. But in the few times when the other students deemed me worthy to to not just be ignored when they're talking about stuff, sex. It was the only thing. So, man, you gotta teach your children.
Yeah, but like I was telling you, so he's on Skype, and like, it was this girl that I was particularly close with at the time, and she was always friends with a bunch of males, like a bunch of them. And we would be on Skype, and she would be telling me like their stories about what they said, talk about, obviously sexual or whatever. And mind you, me and Michael, we just there listening, because I never do these things before. I wasn't necessarily interested. I had no boyfriend or nothing, so I just listened to her. And one time my parents kept, you know, you couldn't leave Skype at this, like the Skype messages, so. My parents had just gotten divorced, and I used to be back and forth. And I think I left the Skype open on my mommy computer. I go, I'm on my daddy, and we was talking, and my mommy opened the computer. She saw what they was talking about. She said,
not my one good daughter.
Yeah, from here to Africa. Because of the things we was talking about, and they said, why are you talking about these stuff? Don't let these people get you in problems. And it came to the point where we said, like, instead of putting the full word, we'd use letters, the letter, the first
use
word.
Use code words.
Yes.
And then you would automatically, yes, like gibberish, but you automatically words. Know what they trying to say.
Oh Lord. We have some parents who are listening to this right now going through the same thing. They're looking at their children TikTok and Instagram messages on accident and wondering what the hell these letters mean, and now they know. Now y'all know.
For me, I didn't really get on the Skype until like much later. However, you know that landline where you used to do them three-way calls?
Oh Lord.
Yes.
That was me. Only thing now is that, remember now, they could have picked up the next receiver or anything and could have listened on the call.
They could have listened.
A male name, especially for females. Like, if you're talking about a male, you ain't calling a male name. You're calling a female name and you're using your code names and all type of stuff. Listen here.
I don't know how advanced you're. But y'all just a little bit young. So what we used to do, I always just make myself sound older. So what we used to do back in my day, because we knew that you know your folks could pick up the line and they could hear whatever you was talking about or whatever. I don't know if y'all remember, but when somebody else used to pick up the landline. Your landline used to like go on a kind of echo type of vibe. Like, yeah, the quality of your audio used to change, and everybody could like hear you twice. So sometimes for other people, when they folks used to get on and used to be like, "What the?" Like some of them couldn't help themselves, you know. Like their parents, they was like, "What the hell y'all talking about on this?" And everybody just used to hang up with. I used to be so nervous, because it's like, oh my gosh, what if your mommy tells my mommy, I'm not, your mommy don't even know this person, mommy. Your mommy probably don't even know this person exists. But it's just like, oh Lord, what if they tell my mommy, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, oh my goodness. And to all the parents watching, I don't want you to feel as though this is just our times. Your children are, I could be real with you, your children are doing it too. and they and they are much more and they are much more and trust me, is a lot more accessible technology than would be at. Is a lot more, and the internet is a lot, has a lot of things about privacy. So, you know, all these different ways that your cute little angel talking about so and so and whoever, and you ain't know who they talking. It don't matter. I don't even want to hear y'all say, well, I know who my child is talking to. I know everybody they talk to. You lie. You wrong.
Yeah, you lie.
You lie. And guess you lie,
what?
And you're
you
wrong.
Might know, but you don't know to what extent you were thinking that, oh, they ain't talking about. Let me tell you all something. And this is a plug in for the parents that are listening. Listen to me. Please monitor your children. Don't think, man, my child is don't get no trouble. And I don't have to watch what she doing or me doing this. Listen, that's the ones you got to watch the most because they smart. You listen. Might be thinking they have one screen up and you thinking all they watching this is a whole different thing. Listen, y'all. Don't think it's a pain. Oh, I don't want to be a burden on my... No, you're not your child's friend. You're their parent. You care for them. You love it. And children need structure. Please monitor your children.
Hey, and listen, and listen, listen. What the main... One thing that you got to understand is this. This is a very... This is a very... I'm not a parent. I'm just an uncle and I have my boys. And like I say, they're my nephews, but they're my boys. So I talk to them about whatever. I don't sugarcoat nothing with them. And I mean, some people might say, oh, are you talking to them too rough? No, I ain't talking to them rough at all. Because there's always, whenever they do something wrong, and I tell them that they do something wrong, their whole expression, everything about them is changed until they apologize to me for what they did. So don't come right, like, and you could be their friend, you know. You could be, and when I say friend, you could be friendly with your children because you want them to trust you to the point where they could come to you and talk about things. So you ain't got to talk to them. You ain't got to talk down to your children. You have to talk to them. Don't talk down. Don't treat them like they some stupid little baby. They can't understand. They don't understand what sex is. No, no, no. Talk to them. Like they are adults. they are adults. Cause when they go to school and when you ain't looking and you don't know who they talking to in school, I promise you they talking about things that make your heart drop. I would rather my child go to school and talk about a bunch of foolishness and be comfortable to come back home and talk to me about it. And then for them to talk about a bunch of foolishness, I never know what happened. And then when something happened, I just yes. gotta be there like, oh yes. No, not my good child. No, it is your good yes. child. I know how to tell you this. I know how you feel about it. But yeah, it's your good child.
Anyway, thank you, Dudley, for your insightful thoughts about parents talking to their children about, you know, things that they're doing. I hope that these conversations have opened the eyes for many. We've shared our personal experience here, and if we was doing it, the children probably doing worse. I may say that, but we have to have a line. But we had a really good conversation today. I really enjoyed talking with you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. You can follow us on Facebook at Candid242 and on Instagram at Candid242 to keep updated about what we have going on. See you next week. Keep it real, bombing.